Good morning.
Good morning.
It is certainly good to be back with you this Sunday after being off for a week. People have asked me, how was your week off? And I said, it was a working vacation. So Mom and I got into the garage and I continued to unpack boxes. We did a wonderful job and made great headway. So now we're about down to just pictures. So we got to figure out where to put pictures on the wall, and some stuff we have given away as well. We are now in the third Sunday of Easter. And as I told you on Easter Sunday, Easter is more than just one day. In the liturgical calendar, it is 50 days and concludes with Pentecost. And Pentecost is May 5th. Pentecost is a wonderful day and a great celebration, and I hope you will continue to attend at least through that amount of time. Easter is about knowing God's undefeated love for us. Because of the Easter resurrection, we know that our worst cannot destroy the love of God. Our worst cannot destroy God's presence as revealed in Jesus Christ. Easter represents the faithfulness of God's enduring and steadfast love, despite unpleasant attitudes, despite the unpleasant things that we can say to our friends and neighbors, despite whatever we can inflict on the world. God cannot be defeated. God's love comes to the place in our lives when we realize we need the fullness of the presence of God to be with us. Unfortunately, people wait until that moment, until they realize that the weight of the days, the weight of the world, the weight of the situation around us is too dreadful to handle without God. We know that we have masters or many gods we have chosen to serve at times in this world. And no matter how often we try to serve those masters or we try to serve those many gods that the world presents to us, none of that can give us peace or redemption. It's only by recognizing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and saying thank you, God, for the presence of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that we can finally receive peace. Recently, I talked to a parishioner who was sick, and I told them, find some way to have joy in your life each day. No matter how bad the world may get, no matter how bad the situation may be, find some way to have joy in your life each and every day. In spite of the disciples' shortcomings, Jesus needed them to be his followers. The disciples were not perfect people. They had lots of faults. They didn't listen. Sometimes they would stray, they would question him, and this was after they had seen all that Jesus had done. They knew the miracles that Jesus did to heal people. They knew what he taught. They saw all this, but still they would stray. We may not be perfect, but we are still called. We were called at our baptism. When we were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and when we are marked as Christ's own forever, we were called to a life of ministry, a life in which we serve God in our neighborhoods, at church, wherever we may be. We are called to do so. Jesus is concerned about our commitment. Jesus is concerned about our dedication to follow, and we are called to do the best that we can do with the gifts that God has given us. Now, after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples returned to their normal life of fishing on the Sea of Galilee. They were trying to take in and trying to grasp all that they had seen over Jesus' lifespan and certainly in the recent time of his crucifixion and resurrection. They were trying to say, what does this all mean? What does it all mean for us, and where are we to go from here? For a while, they followed. But now the Easter event has passed, and they continue their career as fishermen. They went back to what they knew, but things were about to change. The disciples were not having any luck fishing. Jesus was on the shore, but the disciples didn't recognize him. So while they were fishing, he realized their frustration and told him, "Fish on the right side of the boat." He yelled from the shore, "Fish on the right side of the boat." They responded, and in the process, they caught many fish, an overwhelming catch. But isn't this how life is so often? When we believe that the weight of the world has to simply put us down, when the weight of the world is making us frustrated, when we feel like we are going nowhere, it's only at that time when we get on our knees that we say, "Lord, here I am. I cannot do this on my own. I need you to guide me, show me, light my path. Show me and talk to me and tell me which way to go." And then once we begin to listen to Jesus and we do what he's calling us to do, things get a lot better. I believe that when Jesus told the disciples, "Cast their nets on the right side of the boat," he was challenging them to break away from what they knew and try something different. He says that to us as well. Following Jesus means often venturing into uncharted waters, venturing into the unknown, going where we have never been, expanding our horizons, and developing new relationships. Jesus challenges us to break down those walls of security that we believe can keep us safe and to do something totally different. It means leaving our normal habits and being spontaneous. God wants us to follow where the Holy Spirit moves us. God may lead us to places where we've never been, and that's okay, because God is not going to abandon you. God will lead us to new destinations that don't even seem rational. The disciples had a successful expedition since they heeded Jesus' call to try something different. It's ironic that after all the disciples had been through, they continued their old habits. And this is human nature. Often we go back to our old habits. They're like well-worn shoes. They're simply comfortable, but maybe not right. You would think that they would have been more adventuresome, willing to take some risks. In the past, Jesus had always said, "Have you no faith?" But this time, he gives them encouragement and doesn't question their lack of faith. Remember, this is post-resurrection. It's a new day. It's a new dawn. There has been a paradigm shift in the world. Death has been defeated. Christ is alive. And that's why we say each Sunday, "Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia." Jesus is now with them in spirit. Jesus is with them in spirit rather than in flesh. As they ate together, the disciples realized that it was Jesus. They were hesitant to say anything since they were feeling guilty about deserting him. Remember, when he was being crucified, when he was having trial before the authorities, he was dragged through the streets, he was spit upon, ultimately crucified. They all ran away. Peter denied him 3 times. However, Jesus is about forgiveness. Jesus is about forgiveness, and Jesus is about love and grace. Following the fishing episode, Jesus asked Simon Peter 3 times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter's response was, "Lord, you know I love you more than all others." Jesus asked him again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Then he asked him a 3rd time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Can you imagine being Peter and Jesus there in spirit, who has been resurrected from the dead, the Son of God, piercing in your eyes, penetrating your soul, and asking you that? That would be a heavy moment. Apparently, Jesus wanted Peter to be fully committed, fully dedicated, because Peter was going to be the rock in which the church was going to be built upon. Jesus had to know that he had all the love, all the commitment, all the dedication, all in him. But above all, Jesus wanted to know, "Peter, can you drink from this cup?" Jesus told Peter that if he truly loved him, then he would go forth this day and feed his sheep, or feed his people, the good news and the gospel of Christ. I believe Jesus was challenging Peter to go into unfamiliar waters. Waters that would be dangerous, waters that could be treacherous, but he would not be alone. The Holy Spirit would be with him. The challenge to feed sheep was a challenge to Peter to go where he had never been before. How difficult is it to venture into other places where we are so used to our familiar surroundings and our familiar people? The disciples were busy fishing, doing what they knew. However, the only way that Jesus was going to build the church was to have his disciples follow and venture into unfamiliar waters. Thank God they were willing to do so, because look what we have around the world today. Peter was the rock of the church, the primary mover and appointed disciple who will continue the mission and ministry of Jesus. They had to be touched by the Holy Spirit. They had to be willing to go places where they had never been before. We are called to do the same. Nevertheless, someday Jesus would have to pass the baton and give that responsibility to someone new. He gave it to the disciples, and forever he gave it to you and me. So my prayer for you is that as you go forth this day, and as you go forth in ministry, and as you hear the call of our Lord, be willing to go into uncharted waters, knowing that you have a wonderful community here at St. George that will be with you, guide you, and help you along the way. Be willing to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel in your neighborhood, at your workplaces, wherever you may be. Preach it from the mountaintop. Be convincing and know that you are assured that Christ is your Lord and Savior and shield. May you always know the grace of God is with you and that you are loved. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.